my name is Tom Morris. I am from the University of Connecticut. The talk I'm going to give you today is from two papers that were published, and I'm going to just tell part of the story of the data from those papers. And the talk that comes after me by Peter will be the other half of the story. But I really think we need to reduce uncertainty in order to make recommendations which are going to be accurate, because it's impossible to predict the economic optimum rate of nitrogen for any randomly chosen field before the time of side dressing of corn, which in the humid regions is about the latest we can apply the nitrogen. And I'm going to be talking about nitrogen and not about the other nutrients that we make recommendations for. Been much money and effort put into developing more reliable nitrogen recommendations. We've been trying to do that for many, many years. But the uncertainty caused by such things as inherent yield variability, which obviously have many, many factors affecting them, a model bias describing yield response, and the cost of the fertilizer nitrogen commodity causes problems with making an accurate recommendation. So this search is ongoing, and this is just one piece of information we want to provide to the search. The talk's based on these two papers here, were published in Agronomy Journal in 2007. And the new nitrogen recommendation system has been developed in the Corn Belt. Scientists, primarily in the major Corn Belt states, Michigan, Ohio, I think also participated, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Illinois. They, and John Sawyer is lead on the author on the publication. And they have a publication called the Nitrogen Rate Calculator. And that recommendation is now based on the rotation and price of nitrogen in corn, rather than on the yield goal, which was our traditional way of making nitrogen recommendations. It's a very large data set of responsive trials to nitrogen, or nitrogen trials that they had in the Corn Belt that they put together. It's very difficult to cooperate across state lines. I think this is an excellent project. Allows easy calculation of the economic optimum rate and shows frequency of response at sites in the data set. So you can go on the web and you can easily calculate what your economic optimum is if you put in the prices and the rotation. So I'm going to use this a few slides from this data set, from this website that they have, to make some points about price ratio effect on nitrogen recommendations. And they use data from Iowa is what I'm going to use, what I'm going to show here. There's 176 total nitrogen response trials in that data set. I'm going to show just the corn after soybean, and I'll show the maximum return to nitrogen and economic optimum for various price ratios. And this is the first graph I'm showing is nitrogen at 15 cents a pound. I'm going to have five slides identical setup format. 15 cents a pound, corn at $4 a bushel. And the profitable nitrogen range for $1 is shown on their website. They do that calculation for you. For this is 134 to 169 pounds of nitrogen. That's because the response is kind of exponential up at the surface and up at the top. And so you have a very long plateau there. And economic optimum is 150 pounds of nitrogen. And they also give you, they allow you to print out this frequency graph. Within those 176 sites, what's the percent of the time that that economic optimum was for each of those sites in the data set? So I'm showing here that we have 26% of the sites were within this profitable nitrogen range that they provide on their data set. And 150 pounds of nitrogen would be the economic optimum. But of course, based on this data set, you'd be wrong about 74% of the time if your fields represented this random distribution here. And if I move to 30 cents a pound and keep corn at $4, you see we go up the economic optimum to 132 pounds. We're up about 16, 18 pounds. Profitable nitrogen range moves to 118 to 147, and 27% of the sites are in the profitable range now. And if you move to 60-cent nitrogen, which we had maybe a year ago or so, and keep the corn at $4, your economic optimum drops down to 108 pounds per acre. Profitable range you can see there. And we're back to about 22% of the sites are in the profitable range. if we move to some more extreme cases, I put an extreme case in here of nitrogen 60 cents and corn going back to $2 a bushel the way it was in the past. Maybe 15 years ago, there was $2 corn, I remember. Economic optimum drops all the way down to 75 pounds, and 26% of the sites now profitable range. And if we flip-flop that and we go to nitrogen real cheap at 20 cents a pound, it's been cheaper. I've seen it down at even 8 cents a pound in my lifetime, and I'm not too old. And corn at $6, so now we go up to $6 corn. We got 152 pounds. And the profitable range is 30-pound range there where you'd be profitable within a dollar. And 22% of the sites are in that profitable range. Now, when I look at this from a farmer's standpoint, and I really like this data set because they did open up the data and allow the farmers to see how the recommendation was being made, which we traditionally have not done. And when I look at it from a farmer's standpoint, it actually scares me a little bit, because where does my field fit in there? For any given field of mine, where does it fit in? And so I just made a summary of the economic optimums for those price ratios shown, which I think would cover pretty much all the price ratios you'd ever see. I guess I shouldn't say that if we end up with natural gas going sky high, but within the normal range that you'd expect. You get 75 pounds of nitrogen to 152 pounds of nitrogen was the end rate that was optimal. But the percentages of sites in profitable nitrogen range didn't really change. You're only going to be right about 22 to 27% of the time. And so I think our recommendation, I think this shows very clearly that our recommendation system for nitrogen needs improvement. Well, how do we improve it? This is a very large data set, probably the largest data set that's ever been put on the web, 176 sites just in Iowa alone. And that's just corn soybeans. There's another, I think, about 110 sites of corn that are there. So I don't think the answer is to keep collecting small plot data, which most of this is, and keep putting it into some type of economic optimal model. I think we have to develop some other way to do that. So how are we going to improve the farmer's guess at the best nitrogen rate for any random field? Because I view nitrogen recommendations are always going to be a guess. I don't think we have a choice, at least in a humid environment where it rains, and rain is unpredictable. When I talk to farmers about nitrogen and they press me to give them a particular nitrogen recommendation, I don't give them recommendations. I actually would like to change my lab. We're talking about changing our lab recommendations to not give a specific number, to give a very wide range to reflect the reality of nitrogen. And I tell them I can give them an accurate number if they would give me the daily rainfall from May 1st to September 1st. But they have to give me that on May 1st. And then I would be able to give them an accurate nitrogen recommendation, probably. But that's not going to happen. So the goal is better certainty and a guess at the economic optimum made at the beginning of the season. And I'm going to use the analysis of 54 small plot nitrogen response trials to show a procedure to improve that guess. Here's the trials here. You just see there's 54 trials. 27 were corn, 27 were corn beans. This in the paper. The rates, nitrogen rate was 0 to 300 pounds of nitrogen. All the plots were replicated three times. Here's the data as described just in the mean values. You can see the corn after soybean up at the top here didn't take as much nitrogen like you would expect. The corn required more nitrogen and had a bigger response. The yields actually plateaued pretty close, and the yields were very good. The main problems with identifying the economic optimum with some certainty is that inherent variability of yield response to nitrogen and bias in models for calculating or estimating that EOR. And I want to show this graph again to show the differences in response that we do have and the inherent variability in that yield response. You have sites such as this one here where you had the classic response. Then you can come down here and you have a site here where you had just about no response. And you can look through this data set and see that there's all kinds of responses. It varies dramatically. This is only 54 trials. And I don't believe this 54 trials could ever represent the tens and tens of thousands of fields that are out there in the Corn Belt. But that's what we do. That's what we use to make a recommendation. How and solve this inherent variability of yield response to nitrogen? It's obviously going to be there all the time. We're not going to eliminate it in humid regions. We believe you need to divide the yield response trials into some type of categories. And that's really what the papers were about. Peter's going to talk later about how to do the categories more in detail. A simple example we did in this paper was by rotation. If you divide by rotation in this simple data set, in those 54 trials, you're going to explain 7 to 30% of the variability in economic optimum depending upon which model you use. And you're going to increase the profit about $15 per hectare just by simply dividing it up. And we already do that. We do divide by rotation in our recommendations. Now, the model bias problem is more difficult to solve. And I'm going to show a few slides looking at the model bias. Here I'm showing a graph from the paper. The economic optimum was calculated with 20-cent nitrogen, $2.20 corn. And you see over here I have economic optimum values with a quadratic model, exponential model, a square root model, linear response plateau, and quadratic response and plateau for the corn. And you can see the economic optimum rates, how they change. The quadratic model gives about 224. The linear response and plateau gives 141. So you have a huge difference in economic optimum depending on what model you choose. And yet the R-square values essentially stay the same right here. So it's difficult to choose which model. And corn and soybeans, pretty much the same thing. You have 87 pounds for linear response and plateau. And the real high rate was the 173 for the quad. So the models are causing problems. How are you going to model this data? Which model is best? And I don't think we'll ever settle that argument. It's going to be very difficult to settle that argument. I also show the models and price ratios and their effect on the economic optimum rates that we have. And I put this in here just so you can get some feel for the ratios that we'd have. This the EORs down here in the fertilizer grain price ratio. You can see how they change for corn after soybean. You have some as when you get down to the low price ratios, you can have as much as over 200 pounds of nitrogen, depending upon which model. For the quadratic model, it drops all the way down here to maybe 150 pounds. So that's your effective price ratios within the models. But it's a very confusing situation if you're a farmer trying to decide what actual nitrogen rate you should apply to your field. So how solve this model bias problem? We believe one way to do this might be to exclude treatments outside the near optimal nitrogen range. The slope of the line greatly affected by rates outside that near optimal. And there's no real reason why we should have the regression equation go through all of those points on the graph when we're only really interested in the near optimal. And the other way to do this is to use discrete marginal products rather than using a model to describe the data. I've shown here one graph where we did just look at the corn grain yields compared to the rates of nitrogen fertilization and the economic optimum shown for the rates near optimal for this data set in those 54 sites. And in corn after corn, you can see that we've really reduced the effect of the model. The quadratic model is 227 and the square root model is 216 pounds. And so now we have at least a fair agreement of the models. I did drop out the segmented models because you cannot use a segmented model. It does not choose a range. It gives you an exact point. So corn soybean, it does pretty much the same thing. It puts our economic optimums pretty close together, and the model bias is not as great. Another way to look at this is using discrete marginal products. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. We discuss it in the paper in more detail. You see the marginal cost line. Well, let me first say the discrete marginal products are the kilogram of grain produced for every kilogram of nitrogen. So that's what we're talking about. That's what we're showing on the graph here. We've also limited it to the range of interest for the nitrogen rates. And I put in, we have in the graph a marginal cost line at the 20-cent nitrogen, $2.20 corn. And you could then find your rate here for corn after corn would be down around 200 and some kilograms per hectare. So this would be one easy way, or easier way probably, to calculate the optimum value of fertilizer for this particular data set. This graph also gives you an idea of the variability that you have in your data set also. This line should be linear and should be, these points should be as close to line as possible. So, and then the process to solve the problem, we did it in this paper, delineate a process. And we say you should collect, step one would be a five-step process, we said. Collect a sample of yield response trials that represents the population in a geographic area, specified range of conditions, and specified time. You're going to need a large number of trials, obviously. Small plots, I believe, are too expensive. Strip trials in cooperation with farmer groups, probably the best way to do this. And then focus in on those narrow I mean, that narrow range, that near optimal range of nitrogen. And then step two is to calculate the ex post economic optimum rate for the range of conditions you represent, exclude treatments outside near optimal, and use to treat marginal products. Step three was use information available at the time of fertilization to classify sites into categories. Peter will talk more about this. This is actually the key to this. You need to divide up in some way. You can use such things as soil drainage, fall versus spring application of nitrogen. What you need is information that's easily available to the farmer and to you to be able to make these categories. The information has to be available before the decision to make the fertilizer application. So the EOR should vary little if the data set represents a large population yield response as expected if you divided them into categories properly. Obviously, the first step we did was a rotation. That's just one category. We're going to have numerous categories if we're going to eliminate the variability and uncertainty. Step four is calculate the EORs for a range of conditions represented by each new category. Now that you've established a new category, you go back and do your calculations over again. Step five is calculate the economic and environmental benefits of forming new categories. Once you have this, then you can go calculate what would be the benefit. An example that we have in the paper is a net benefit to side dress compared with fall application, then this would be a category if that turned out to be economic. And then you can repeat the first five steps when obtaining new information that you can divide into more categories. The summary is the uncertainty needs to be minimized in our fertilizer recommendations, I believe. We need to develop a process. This is one process that we are suggesting. We've developed it further since we published this paper. Developing categories will reduce the uncertainty. We're going to have a large number of trials. I think we need more discussion about how we set up these categories, how we go about making a nitrogen recommendation. And we're going to need a cooperative effort of farmers, researchers, and ag service providers, I believe, to get the number of sites that we need to describe this. So that's the end of my talk. We'd like to take questions. Yeah, we have a few minutes if you have questions. Yes, sir. Yes, and that's the question. How do you categorize all that variability in yield that was shown in those slides from the nitrogen rate calculator? Obviously, what it's going to come down to, not obviously, but there's some thoughts that we have on what it's going to come down to is you have to divide into categories for fall versus spring fertilization. That's probably what's happening. If you have manure in the system, it's also going to make a big difference. You know, how much manure has been in the system. You're also going to have to probably take into effect soil drainage or soil type in some way. Yeah, so you're going to have to divide it up into the categories so as you gradually eliminate that variability so as your recommendation is for that slice of sites which are going to yield in that economic optimum. Yes, I agree, and you could use those new data sets for rainfall that you can access in real time to be able to make adjustments. For one of the categories that we have is rainfall in the spring has a large effect. So you can get the rainfall, up-to-date real-time rainfall by May 1st, and then you could change your nitrogen recommendation based on that. That's the concept. We've worked with Harold Van Esse over at Cornell who has published some data in that area.